Welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction, haunt entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we are back. We made it safely back to New Orleans. We did not die on the trip to and from Houston. Houston?
You know how to say Houston.
I'm only doing this to aggravate Crystal because she lived in Houston for... Or the Houston area.
Yeah.
For a certain number of years growing up.
Right.
So she gives me the stink eye when I do that. But yes, we have returned from the Houston trip. We have a lot to talk about it. We're going to go over every haunt we travel to and sort of do an overview of what we learned in Houston. And I think we're going to wrap it up with some of the lessons that I think New Orleans and perhaps other areas could learn.
Right.
From Houston. But also, I think some of the things Houston may stand to work on itself. I'm not, trying to not be a dick about it.
And try not to.
And if I am being a dick about it, you can let us know at hauntweekly.com or hauntweekly on Twitter, hauntweekly on Facebook. You can also find us at youtube.com/hauntweekly. That's our YouTube channel. We're also on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever finer podcasts are distributed. All right. It feels like it's been forever since we've been recorded.
It does.
Because we recorded the last episode early and recording this one on time.
Right.
So it feels like it's been forever. But on that note, Crystal, this is episode 203. You are the oddball. I can say it again. Oh, and that reminds me, our winners.
Yes.
Can expect their stuff in the mail fairly soon.
Yes.
It's still being worked on.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's taking longer than I expected to finish making them all.
Yeah, you might have stretched yourself a bit, but they will get out soon.
Yeah, and part of that is the Houston trip.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to have time to work on it there, and I didn't.
No, I don't know why you thought that. I don't know either. It was a slam jam trip, as we're going to talk about in a minute. Also, both of us picked up some crud in Houston. The famous Houston crud. I think that's their soccer team.
Well, I had it for the last episode, so mine was before and you caught it from me.
If we're snifflier and coughier than normal, you know why.
Yeah.
All right, but yes, you are the oddball. Conference reminder time. Crystal, do us the honors.
November 8th and 9th, it'll be the legendary Haunt Tour in Atlanta, Georgia at the Gwinnett Place Hotel is where they meet. They will be touring Netherworld Haunted House at their new location. Aatrox Leeds in Leeds, Alabama, and others. You can find out what those others are at legendaryhaunttour.com.
All right, the Haunted Attractions Network. You might be listening to us on their podcast page. There's a good chance. On December 9th, we'll be hosting the Seasonal Attraction Leadership Symposium 2019 at Kissimmee, Florida at the Gaylord Palms. There'll be four keynotes with discussions following, as well as a private viewing of Christmas by Gaylord Palms. HauntedAttractionNetwork.com for more details. You can also go to leadership-symposium.org to go directly to the page about the information.
Okay, January 17th through the 19th, it's HauntCon Halloween and Party Expo here in New Orleans at the Ernest and Memorial Convention Center. We will be talking.
Mm-hmm.
We will be giving a talk together.
Yes.
You know, kind of like this, only, you know, live.
With slides.
Yeah, with slides and live. And we'll also be doing a haunt tour of our haunt, even though we weren't open this season.
Yes.
Which is really hitting home right now.
We literally just put the signs outside.
I know.
Yeah. Murdered me.
Yeah. And yeah, it's getting harder the closer we get. Anyway, you will have a chance
to be the first to see it.
First to see it Friday the 17th. That night we're going to do something. HauntCon.com for more information about the haunt conference in general.
Yes. And finally this week, HauntX, the Haunters DIY Expo. It's February 21st through the 23rd in Pomona, California at the Fairplex. We'll be touring the touring Asylum Haunted House, lights on and lights off, and the costume ball. HauntX, that's just the word haunt and the letter X.com for more details.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I don't know why we're scrolling through the conference reminders. We don't have show notes for this because we've already outlined what we wanted to talk about. And basically, yeah, we spent all of last weekend leaving Friday after work and arriving back here Monday during the day, touring 9 different haunted attractions, 2 in Louisiana, 7 in the, 5, I'm sorry, in the Houston area, and 2 in the Beaumont Vidor area.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in that order.
Right. So, it was a lot of freaking haunts.
There, we went to a lot of haunted houses, and I gotta say, the trip overall had a great time. I'm very impressed we were able to see everything we planned.
Yeah.
Plus a little bit extra.
Yeah.
Much like our Atlanta trip in that regard, in which, you know, we really didn't, we were like, okay, we can hit these, but if we can also hit that, we will.
Yeah, we didn't find any, like, just randomly, like on the Atlanta trip. And I will take responsibility for this trip because I said, well, since last year we went to Chicago and had a great time, but we spent a little bit more. Let's find somewhere we can drive to that's close and maybe spend a little bit less.
Yeah, well, we drove to Atlanta when we did Atlanta.
We did.
It was a very similar style trip to that one.
Exactly.
Except this time we didn't have to find our hotel hidden behind the McDonald's like you're trying to fucking get to Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Just drive into a McDonald's and assume it's there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck that hotel.
Yeah, that was pretty terrible.
That was not what we had in Houston.
No, no.
Man, we only actually spent one night in Houston. And we'll get on to that in a minute. But anyway, since we were doing I-10 West, that means we had to pass through 2 Louisiana towns. And we started the trip with a haunt we'd actually done before.
Right. Several years ago.
Yeah. Admittedly, like 4 or 5 years ago, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
I'd have to look up when we did the review. But, and Crystal's going to do that for me. But the haunt is right outside Lafayette, Louisiana, not far off I-10. In fact, both of these were pretty much right on I-10.
Right.
The haunt is Fright Trail. Now, we went to Fright Trail...
In 2016.
In 2016, so it was 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the long and short of it is, we had a great time at the haunt.
Yeah.
We knew it was a well-done haunt. They had a lot of things that we love. So many haunts can learn from their queue line.
Right.
And by that, okay, there's a bit of craziness here.
Yeah.
Let's roll this one back. Because when you show up... you have to go to the ticket booth and do all these things and then stand on a queue on one side of the road. And it's a very busy highway.
Yeah.
And it's on the other side of the road that the actual haunt is. In
right.
The woods.
And they have cops that are to block the road off to let the initial crush of humanity across.
Yeah. And they will let, and it, as we found 2016, they'll let individuals across too, but they'll try to wait for you to get a larger group.
Yeah.
But it's so weird because everything on the far side of the road is pretty rough. And we're not going to lie to you.
Where you get your tickets.
Where you get your tickets.
Yeah.
Because where you park to where you get your tickets to where you do all that, the signage was woefully inadequate.
Yeah, we had to direct a couple of people.
Well, a fair amount of people. We ended up stopping, getting in line right near where the porta potties were.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we were near the break in the guardrail. And people kept trying to get into line there, even though you had to pass through the metal detector, which is, ugh, really? You think that's helping your security? Come on. go through the metal detector, go get your tickets, and then stand in the queue. And you have to get your tickets, your physical tickets, even if you bought online, was one of the things we learned.
Right.
We had bought online. There's no actual advantage to it other than it's the only way to pay with a credit card or debit card.
Yeah.
So, something to keep in mind. But anyways, once you do get across the street, actually, we should say first, if you do get there before opening and wait in that queue, in that gravel pit, the cast does a thing.
It is.
I will not spoil it, but it is fun, it is interesting, and I've got to say it's a great way to open a haunt.
Yeah, I think it started the night off right. For me, at least.
It did. I was still miffed about all the ticketing situation and all that. I mean, these are things that can be trivially fixed. But, yeah, anyway. But once you get across the other side, their queue line is one of my favorite queue lines anywhere.
Yeah.
It's practically a haunt unto itself.
Yeah.
because you're passing through all of these scenes, you're walking through all these things, you have line actors all over the place, they're punny magician zombie.
Yeah.
It's probably one of my favorite Q actors I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, he was very funny. And I don't know if he was magician or sideshow guy. He basically had a nail that he stuck places.
Yeah, and I think it was a little bit of both. He was doing a little bit of both. He did some sleight of hand, too.
Yeah.
So he was doing a little bit of both. But yeah, I mean, Q line is great. Everything else is great. And then when you go in, you get what can only be described as an absolutely huge haunt.
Yeah.
I mean, it took us about 26 minutes to go through it.
Yeah.
And the ticket price is only $25.
Right.
And the thing is, that when we went in 2016, they were having a problem with bolters.
Yes.
Basically, what would happen is, like a lot of haunt, like a lot of trails, it is, you know, it's building trail, building trail. And so what would happen is people would exit a building, look, see the next building, and just run.
Yeah.
And this happened over and over and over again when we were there.
Right.
And that was a problem for us, because I ain't running through the woods, goddammit.
No.
And I'm going through this at a fairly leisurely walking pace, and a couple of those groups literally crashed into us.
Yeah.
And nearly sent us flying. So we made some recommendations in the review. This is what we suggest narrowing the trail, adding a few more kinks, making it more difficult to run. And they listened, and they succeeded.
Yes.
And we did not have the problem of nearly getting run over.
No.
What we did have was still a problem of groups going way faster than we were, but now they weren't plowing through us.
Right. We were able to hear them coming and say, got over to the side. Ahead?
And yeah.
Yes. And it's always great whenever, you know, you get that group that's like, no, you're part of this. You're going to get us. Why are you letting us go in front of you?
Because you're going to kill us if you don't.
Yeah. This is a trick.
We're the ones in danger here.
Look, I know that I'm scary, but please, go ahead. I promise. I won't harm you.
It's interesting, but yeah. I mean, as far as the haunt itself goes, for a trail haunt, it is very easy to navigate. Ellie was with us on this, and she has, I don't want to say they're mobility issues, but mobility complexities.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like she's fully ambulatory. No one's going to confuse her as a not ambulatory person, but she doesn't do well with stairs or steep inclines or things like that. And she was able to get through the whole thing without any issue,
right?
Even though it was a lengthy walk.
Yeah.
And they've definitely made a lot of really good additions in terms of adding new houses and adding new scares. The animatronics were timed a little weird, being in the front of our pair or group a lot. Yeah. I had to keep going back to see them because they were timed.
Yeah.
Admittedly for the middle of the group, which is right, but that means that certain people don't get to see them.
Yeah, I think that, well, especially for some of the ones that are slower to activate, the sensors could be pushed a little bit
further up trail.
Yeah, further ahead of where they are.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. But no, all in all, I mean, fun experience. Started the night off right. Don't really have any major complaints.
Nope.
It was pretty darn good overall.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, after that, we got back in the car and we drove to Lake Charles,
right,
which is also coincidentally pretty much where we were staying for the night.
Yeah.
We dropped Ellie off in the hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, mobility complexities. She was tired and knew she could not do another haunt or trail haunt of that length.
Right.
And I'm really glad she didn't come to Lost Hollows, which was the next one.
Right.
Lost Hollows, I've got to say that this one's interesting.
Uh-huh.
Because the story here is we don't know Lake Charles. I don't think I've ever even been to Lake Charles.
Yeah, we've driven through it.
We've driven through it. I think everything we've seen of Lake Charles is what you can see from I-10.
Yeah, basically.
So we're driving through. So we get there. We're using a GPS. And the GPS is like, you have arrived at your destination. And look, I'm like, fuck, I have.
Yeah.
I'm in the parking lot for a Target. That's closed.
And a Conn's and department store.
It's a standard big box store shopping center.
So I look around the parking lot and way off in the distance, I'm like, there's a blue light over there and it looks like a trailer.
There's
Let's
a trailer
go
and
there.
Some cars parked there. Let's just go there. And if nothing else, maybe we can ask someone.
Yeah.
That turned out to be it.
Yeah.
But yeah, when the GPS is like, you have arrived. Fuck you. Yeah. We have decidedly not arrived at our destination.
And so we called ahead of time because we were getting there close to closing.
Yeah, we knew we were cutting it close.
Yeah, so we knew that they should still be there.
And that was one of the stressors. It's like, oh God, we know we're pushing closing time for these guys. We know they're staying open.
Yeah.
But if we got bad GPS directions, we may not go to this haunt just because we may not get there in time.
Right.
And that would suck.
It would.
But no, we did get there in time. And it's an interesting experience because you buy your tickets and do all this stuff there in this con's parking lot.
Right.
And what they do is they have a hayride that comes and takes you to the haunt. It's a bit like what happens at Hell's Gate.
Yeah.
If you park in the lot there, except they bring the regular shuttle.
Right.
They send a truck with a giant trailer hitch and a hayride.
Yeah, it's basically a horse trailer.
Yeah, it's basically a horse trailer they've added hay to so you can sit down and get hay in your underwear, basically.
Yeah.
It was interesting, and it was kind of, the thing that made it kind of weird was, it was actually the first cold night we've had in southern Louisiana in like a year.
Yeah.
And so that ride, 35, 45 miles an hour, and because we're going down the roads.
Yeah, we're going on a feeder road to the interstate.
going down real roads, and we're going pretty fast, it got kind of cold.
It did.
I'm not going to lie. But you get it after you drive through underneath the big archy facade thing, and then you get out, and then there's a house waiting for you that you go.
Yeah, well, you forget how quickly we got from the parking lot of a shopping center to woods.
Yeah, like the ultimate commercial civilization, quote-unquote, shopping center to woods to, holy fuck, these are some deep woods.
Yeah.
It's like, we could not have been in there more than 3 to 5 minutes.
No.
Like, legit, we could not have been on that hayride longer than that.
No.
I don't think so. But it felt like we were driving off the edge of the earth.
Yeah. So anyway, we get there.
Sorry. And the first thing you see is a house. They have a couple of zombies sort of doing the scares. I'm like, oh, wow, just jumping right into it.
Yeah.
No, actually, this is part of their cue structure.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm going to give these guys a suggestion right off the bat, which is they have a sign that says VIP tickets go this way and general admission go this way.
Right.
Light that sign better.
Yeah.
We were only with, it was me, you, and like one family.
Yeah.
The entire family bought the VIP or the Fast Pass or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
And boy, they got robbed. There was nobody there.
No.
I mean, it was a Friday night, early to mid-season, and it was cold. It was the first cold night.
We were it.
We were pretty much it for that time. It was late at night. So light that sign because everyone froze there because we had no idea where to go because there's two ways to go plainly. Yeah. And I'm like, we were able to look and see. But yeah, so I would light that much better.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go through the cattle gate system and get up to the front. And then you go into, like, a rules room area.
It's a little area that leads up to the rules room.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, decorated with pumpkins and these weird sculptures. I mean, okay, right off the bat, I'm going to say this, is that the sculpture work in this trail haunt is the best I've seen anywhere.
Okay.
For as far as a trail haunt, everything was custom made.
Yeah.
I haven't seen these things anywhere else. Every doorway had an archway that had some kind of decoration to it. But and then it all started with this little section that led up to the rules.
Yeah, and I'm going to say, I'm going to expand upon what you said by saying, and this is going to sound like an insult, but I mean it as the highest of praise.
No.
Because as a haunter, this is legit praise, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Everything looked like it was junk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you've ever seen that movie, Nothing But Trouble, the Chevy Chase film,
mm-hmm.
where there's like this whole mansion with all this crazy-ass stuff and every detail of it is like made out of used car parts and things. And it's like that. Everything is, except it's wood here versus like...
Yeah, and I don't know what they made all of their giant heads out of.
Yeah, I don't know what they made it all out of, but it looked like reclaimed stuff almost entirely.
Yeah.
And it showed. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
And that, like I said, that to me is a positive and a compliment, and that's how I hope it is taken.
Right.
But yeah, you go into this rules area where you sit down, you watch this video of the rules that, well, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it was rules.
It was what it was. The best part was the actor that came and sat beside us.
Yeah.
And chatted in character with us. And,
yeah. Meaning didn't chat.
Yeah. Well, interacted is what I should have said. Interacted is more accurate.
Yeah.
And then you go into the haunt. And once again, this haunt was another big one. It was over half an hour in there.
Yeah.
It was kind of hard to nail down exactly when the haunt began. Mm-hmm. So I would just say assume you're inside of it for over half an hour.
Yeah.
It had a lot of different sequences in it with... admittedly, no, not much rhyme or reason to the sequences.
Right.
But once again, it looked like it was just a, I guess you would say like a yard for a crazy person. And that they had all this different stuff scattered around in loose collections.
Are you saying folk artsy?
Yeah. It looked like a true nut lived there.
No.
There were
parts of it.
Yeah, parts.
Like their graveyard was very well done.
Oh, yeah.
And... true. It did not look like that.
That did not fit what I was talking about. Yeah, but the only two, there's three things I think I have to like complain about with it. Mm-hmm. One is there is a lot of ducking and a lot of climbing, a lot of mobility stuff. They say on their website they're not ADA compliant.
Yeah, which is good.
Kudos for getting that out there.
Yeah.
But they did say they would like to be...
I don't see how
I don't think they're going to be able to. They are, and it's not just the terrain. The terrain does suck in a few places. I didn't know Lake Charles was that much hillier than Lafayette, but it is apparently. But a lot of it was their choices, like climbing in and out of school buses.
Yeah.
These parts where you're ducking and crab walking for extended periods of time. And I'm getting on up there in years. I'm not the spring chicken I once was.
Yeah.
That stuff is not comfortable, and it's not uncomfortable in a way that I want a haunt to make me feel uncomfortable.
Right.
That's three ibuprofen and a beer uncomfortable, not, oh God, that was awesome, you made me feel something uncomfortable.
Yeah, that made me feel awkward, uncomfortable. It wasn't that.
Yeah, so that's one. Two is, there were a lot of great actors in there, but there were also a lot of very young actors in there.
Mm-hmm.
And the youth kind of showed a little bit sometimes. One of the actors got very frustrated that we weren't really reacting to his scares.
Yeah.
And verbally got angry with us about it. Said, why are you not getting scared type thing?
Yeah.
And it's that's youth kicking in.
Yeah.
I get that. The thing about it is, you know, this isn't a competition, and I think it was John LaFlamboy, you corrected me on this. I'd always attribute this quote to Japes.
I think that might have been where you heard it first.
But either way, it came from John LaFlamboy, and it could be Japes, because this is something he would say. You can't scare everybody, but you can entertain everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens if you realize you can't scare someone, entertain them.
Yeah.
Flip the switch, move on. Some of the actors don't know that. Some of them get it really well.
Yeah.
That hillbilly duo, the only way I can think to describe them, they come out from multiple sides and they run you. It's a damn good scare design because they can distract and startle for each other, basically.
Right, exactly. No, they were very well.
Who's the distract and who's the startle depends upon which way you were looking.
Yeah.
So they do that, and they didn't get the scare, so they just flipped the switch, and they started interacting. They had us fucking laughing.
Yeah, they turned on comedy, which was great.
I loved it, and that was one of my most memorable scenes, and there was a great scare in one of the holiday sections. I'm trying not to spoil it, but I do want to, like, my compliments to the chef for the little reindeer.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
The little reindeer, you know what I'm talking about if you work there.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That got me. Straight fire.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah, we actually told them that.
Yeah.
As we were leaving the scenes, like, that was great.
That was perfectly timed.
Yeah.
Just perfect. So you had, that's the other element. And then the third, it's like I said, they definitely, I think, the other thing, I remember it now. It got confusing on where to go in a few places. They say on the way in, as part of the rules, follow the light. That does not work.
No, it doesn't, because there are some intentionally dark areas.
When there are some intentionally dark areas, there are sometimes where the brightest source of light is behind you.
Right.
And there are areas where there's a bright light, but it doesn't clearly indicate a path.
Right. Yeah. There was one area where I wasn't sure if we were supposed to go into a building or go down a hill, because the hill looked like there was light down it. And since we'd been on hills, maybe it's another hill thing.
Yeah. No.
Well, we took like two steps towards it and realized, no, this isn't really a path.
No,
we are supposed to go in the building.
This is way too steep.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Those are my three complaints.
One other quick thing that I would say is that they have some really awesome distractions in the form of like a helicopter, but they aren't utilizing the scare from the correct place.
They have so much weird shit in those woods.
Yeah.
Really, like I said, they have a broken down helicopter.
Yeah.
Where the fuck do you even find a broken down helicopter?
Rural Louisiana, apparently.
Apparently. But anyway, that was one of our favorite experiences. And that first night between Fright Trail and Lost Hollows was, I think, probably our most successful night. I loved it.
Yeah, it was a very good night.
Very, very good night. So, Saturday we cross into Texas. We find our hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And we do some fun things in the Houston area.
Yep.
And then at 7 p.m., right as they open, we head to Red Rum Scream Park. Now, I want to make it clear, a quick thing here, is that Red Rum was not our initial choice for this.
Right.
We were originally going to go to Phobia. It's a bigger attraction. It was actually closer to where else we wanted to be that night.
Right.
It would have worked better driving time-wise, and it would have worked better in terms of having a bigger name haunt. The problem we found out was that Phobia is cash only.
Yeah.
And if all three of us went, it was going to be $225 for us to go to all the attractions.
Yeah.
That is a lot of cash to carry around.
Yeah, that doesn't include any merch that we might have seen that we wanted, or drinks,
or
anything
else. Or ATM fees we would have paid, because we're out of our area.
Yeah.
We're going to be using somebody else's bank.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have... It wasn't working.
I don't trust businesses that do more than like $50 a business per customer and don't take debit and credit card. I'm sorry. It's anti-consumer. It's insanity. We live in the age of Stripe and Square. I cannot fathom that.
No.
No. So we did not go to Phobia. Instead, we went to Red Rum, which offered us easy tickets online.
Yeah. And we actually did contact them to see if there was any way to pay with card
before
we
went. Told us flatly no.
Yeah.
So yeah, instead we went to Red Rum.
Yeah.
Red Rum is a Scream Park with four attractions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because we knew we had a busy night, we went ahead and paid for the Fast Pass.
Right.
Probably was not necessary. It was a fairly quiet night, but once again, we showed up right as it opened.
Yeah, we showed up right at opening, so we did see more people showing up
as
later.
We were leaving, yeah.
Yeah.
And luckily, we were able to make it through everything fairly quickly, and unfortunately, we were able to make it through everything fairly quickly.
Yeah.
Because the thing about Red Rum is, like I said, it's a Scream Park. It's $35 for a standard ticket. And if you go to the three haunted attractions, which are Twisted Circus, Cinegor, Deadwood Asylum, you get, for us, it was only about 22 minutes inside the haunt.
Yeah.
22, 23. And there is a fourth attraction, the Laser Tag, which was not working at the time.
Yeah. We waited for them about 15 minutes for them to fix it.
Oh, we had to go, yeah.
Yeah, the gentleman at the door was very nice.
Oh, he was super nice. Oh, my God.
Super honest with us about what was going on.
Most patient person in the world there. Oh, my God, that guy deserves so much credit. But, yeah, and I think it's safe to say that we don't need to go through the attractions individually here. We'll do it in the Garbage Horror Review.
Yeah.
To save a little time. The main theme here, though, is that they're following kind of the Leonard Pickle philosophy, which is instead of having one 15,000 square foot attraction, you have three to 5,000 square foot attractions. They're on queue lines. You sell tickets and combo passes and do that. And the idea is that you do these small but very tight haunts.
Right.
And they can follow one theme and very closely and run with it. That didn't happen here.
No. That. The one theme that was in all of them was a maze.
Mm-hmm.
You can see our episode about mazes.
Yeah, we have long things about how mazes do not do anything for us other than piss us off.
No.
I have not done a maze for fun since I was five.
Yeah. And I will say this is also the start of the Texas chainsaws.
Yeah. That was the other thing we noticed very quickly is once we crossed into the border, every haunt A had a 3D clown portion.
Yep.
Or a 3D clown attraction, one or the other. Had with a Texas... Sorry, go ahead.
With the exception of the very last one.
Yeah, we'll get into that one. Yes, you're right. We will get
not a 3D part, but they still had the...
Texas chain. That so. Some wannabe leather face from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Because
mm-hmm.
this is the correct part of Texas, more or less.
Yeah.
As close as you're going to get and be in a city.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a pretty frustrating experience. Because, like I said, there were these every haunt, A, had great facades.
Yeah.
The outside area, the free part you can roam around,
yeah.
was excellent. A great yeah. little midway, a great facades and all the attractions, some neat mm-hmm. actors roaming around, and the bathrooms there were awesome. Seriously, haunted attractions should be decorating their bathrooms better. Red Rum is whooping y'all's asses in this front.
Yeah, and it's the only one I've ever seen do it. They basically covered the entire bathroom with great stuff.
It looked like a cave. They lit it like a cave.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was very, very cool. All the stuff outside was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
All the hanging around bits were pretty cool.
Yeah.
The haunts themselves, though, were short. And they had some great scenes in them, but they also had very lengthy patches of nothing. And then, like you said, they all had mazes to some stripe.
Mm-hmm.
And then mazes exist pretty much solely to pad out time. And yeah, these haunts were extremely short, like I said.
No.
So we got done there. We got done with all the haunts at Red Rum. And this was after waiting 15 minutes in line for the laser tag thing and not being able to go through it.
Yeah.
We got through it so fast that the parking attendant or the person that was running that area said, "Y'all done already?"
Yeah. Yeah, and then they did ask the fateful question, "What did you think?" And we couldn't answer them.
I said, it was a haunt. I mean, it was not a good start. But we were optimistic because we were going to the haunt most recommended to us in Houston, Creepy Hollows.
Right.
And judging from the amount of people there, that haunt definitely has a reputation that this was easily the most crowded attraction we went to.
Yeah.
It was busy. And once again, all of the outside stuff was amazing.
Yeah, and their midway included like a rave dance party area.
Yeah.
And what seemed... So by the time we got to this haunt, what we realized was happening at both, because both had an area to just drop people off, is that parents are dropping their kids off for the night at these haunts. So then they have to have these great midway areas so the kids have something to do all night.
And they have, once again, had actors, some of their very iconic actors roaming around.
Yeah.
Doing things, too. It was, like I said, the outside area was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But we ran into the same problem at Creepy Hollows that we ran into Red Rum, where the haunts themselves were incredibly small.
Yeah.
And though, I will say the design was better at Creepy Hollow.
No.
I really loved a lot of the individual scenes and a lot of the detailing, but once again, it felt incomplete. There were still sections that were not.
Right, and...
were not decorated.
I will say that the $10 VIP upgrade there was the best VIP we've ever...
Yeah, it is absolutely bananas to me. Okay, A, it was hard to find the ticket booth.
Right.
Which is the one thing that should never be hard to find, but that's their problem, not mine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's absolutely bananas to me because they have a $10 VIP upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently nobody's buying it, or at least nobody was buying it that night. We were the only people using it.
Yeah.
And the result of that was we just got in the first of every single line without any problems.
No.
And there were these huge, long queues that probably took 30, 40 minutes to get through mm-hmm. these attractions. I am not sure why nobody paid to upgrade to VIP.
No.
Now both of these haunts, Red Rum and Creepy Hollows, had an interesting way of tracking where you've been. These are not haunts where you pay... See, Scout Island here, it's you pay your fee, you can go on the haunts all you want.
Yeah.
All night long.
Yeah, we did Devil's Island
twice. Last time we were there,
Devil's Swamp.
Swamp Tour twice. That's not like that at this.
No.
You get to go to each haunt once. At Red Rum, they mark off. You give a wristband on the way in, and they literally mark off every time you go through a haunt.
Yeah.
Here, they give you a lanyard with a card, and they cut a corner off the card to represent you've been there.
Yeah. Which is interesting.
It's, yeah, very interesting.
I mean, we still have that ticket because, you know, it's it's an actual quality card.
Yeah. But then they deface it by cutting off corners.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Yeah.
Still, once again, I really love the outside area.
Mm-hmm.
The haunts themselves were better than Red Rum.
Yeah.
But it still felt like incomplete experiences.
And they were touch haunts.
Yes.
Which was not advertised.
Yeah, it was not clearly advertised. I had my luscious long locks down for this trip.
And I had mine up.
Yeah, it was opposite day. And I got my hair. I had to wash fake blood out of my hair when I got back to the hotel room.
Yeah.
The long and short of that. So we ended up, like I said, going through all of these haunts pretty quick order.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, a 3D clown attraction called 2A8 Scary Factory. They had an outdoor attraction called Dark Woods, which I know Dark Woods is the one in Natchitoches, but
right.
And then the Pitch Black, which is their quote unquote main haunted house. It was the original, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Was it better than Red Rum in my mind? Yes. But it still feels like it wasn't a very full experience. And I can tell that a lot of the focus is on the things around it.
Right.
Because like you said, they're obviously trying to push for you to drop off your teenagers and your tweens and whatever and have them spend the day there.
Yeah. And I mean, there were areas inside the haunts that felt empty.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, you know, what felt like 10 to 15 characters walking around outside.
Yeah. There were definitely places where actors were not present. And they had, like I said, characters running around outside. But the characters outside couldn't interact with the queue lines.
No, because of the way the queue lines are structured there. So they were
oh, my God.
Yeah. It was frustrating.
Now, these were very good queue actors. I'm going to be clear. What they were doing was awesome. It was hilarious. I watched them work a little bit.
Yeah.
They're funny, scary people. They are good.
Yeah.
But they seemed limited in where they could go and what they could do.
Right.
And I suspect it's probably frustrating for them.
Yeah.
That's my suspicion. So anyways, after Creepy Hollows, we were not in a good mood.
And by the way, that one took us 21 minutes to get through the
everything,
three.
Everything, yeah.
So 21 minutes there, 22 and a half minutes at Red Rum.
Yeah. Not the longest haunt in haunt times. Once again, clearly trying to lean on this being a place to hang out with the haunts being an element of it.
Right.
Not a haunted attraction, first and foremost.
So by this time, like you said, we were not in a very good mood. We were on the way back to the hotel and debating whether or not we were even
just
going to
pull up
stakes
and get the fuck out of Houston.
Yeah, basically.
I'm not even kidding.
No.
But no, we had time and we were literally across the interstate from our final destination. We did this deliberately.
Yes.
We knew where we wanted to end it the night.
Right.
Because they advertised on the site free adult beverages.
Yep.
And we knew we wanted a hotel close enough to it that an Uber and a Lyft would not be an obstacle.
Exactly.
And yeah, indeed, it was a $5 Uber each way. That was great. But Screamfest Houston, it's a $40 haunt. And once again, now they do the thing that ticks me off. And we talked about it in the previous episode where they say they have four attractions.
Mm-hmm.
But what they have is one attraction in four parts.
Yeah.
You cannot go into these attractions separately.
Right.
It's one queue line, one admission, one go. Now, you can go to it as many times as you want while you're there.
Right. Which is different from the first two that we were in.
Which said you can only go through once.
Right.
So basically, you're totally free to go through it once when you show in, hit the midway, get some beers, play some games, and try it again.
Yeah.
You're totally free to do that.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool. It was a 21-minute haunt for us. And the reason we're talking about the time, when we don't normally talk about the time, is going to come up at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
We might be running a bit long this week, by the way.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry about that. We had a lot to go through.
Oh.
But so anyways, And now the neighbor's dog has decided to join in.
Yeah, sorry.
If you pay, I don't know if the lavaliers will pick him up or not. If they do, I am sorry.
Yeah.
So anyways, the haunt itself was good. I mean, it was fine. Every room was lit either with a strobe or with a blue siren light.
Yeah.
They seemed to only have one lighting style, but they did have four very distinct sections.
They did.
So, I mean, I get why they're claiming to have four haunts.
Right.
But they really only have one.
Yeah.
And it's just a big, big haunt. And it's a haunt that stands on its own as an attraction. It would be about the size of, like, Devil Swamp Tour here in New Orleans, for example, in terms of minutes. It's at least close. And things like that. So we go. So we get there. We go through the attraction. And like I said, it's a very, very distinct different parts of it. They even had a New Orleans cemetery part.
Right.
Which was actually pretty well done.
Yeah. Well, and they also, well, so pretty much, Creepy Hollow also had a New Orleans cemetery. So.
Yeah. If anyone in Houston knows, do you have New Orleans style cemeteries there?
I've never seen one there.
Or is this just a New Orleans fetish?
Yes. I believe that that's correct.
All right. It is sweet.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, but it's not necessary.
I've been to lots of cemeteries in Houston area.
You would know, actually.
Yeah.
You're probably the expert. I probably shouldn't ask the internet.
Yeah.
You would know.
Yeah, I have not seen them.
No. So, yeah, but there was a couple of places where there was definitely missed scares, where they could have had actors.
Mm-hmm.
But the haunt never felt as empty as parts of, like, Creepy Hollow did.
Right.
Or Red Rum even felt empty in places. It never felt empty to me.
Yeah.
They missed a few opportunities. There was one hallway I remember we were going down.
Yeah.
Like, on either side, it's these curtains. Like, you're going in through a hospital.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
The semi-private rooms on each
yeah,
side.
Yeah, it was really well done.
It's really well done. And I'm peeking into the fucking rooms trying to see what's going on. What is this? What is this? What is this? And then nothing happens. Now, I'm assuming something happens in that room normally.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'm spoiling that nothing happened to us. Because I don't think that's what's going to happen to you.
Right.
But I was really, actually very anxious going through that sequence.
Yeah.
Because they had so many options for getting me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, the haunt itself was good. I think they could definitely work on some of the detail work and the lighting, but they've got the actors.
Yeah.
They've got the quality of actors.
And they've got fairly good scare tactics.
Yeah, and their scare tactics are at least good. That was one of the things that was missing from both Red Rum and Creepy Hollow.
Yeah.
Was the design for scaring.
Right.
Because especially Red Rum, it was a bigger problem in Red Rum, where they would build this really neat looking sequence.
Yeah.
And then just an actor in there, and yeah, just scare them.
Yeah.
Like, I loved in Red Rum the movie theater room.
Right.
That was so cool, because they had a room that was probably about the size of the tiny ass room we're in now.
Yeah.
But the way they positioned the entrance, the way they had you come up a little ramp and do everything and mess with your perspective, you swore you were going into a large movie theater.
Yeah.
You would have sworn it. And meanwhile, it's like a 15 by 15 room. It's not very big.
No.
It was a beautiful setup, but the scare in there, unfortunately, was just a person in the seats.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all. That's all they had. There was opportunity, and nothing was executed.
Yeah, I wish it had been like one of those chairs that come to life. Like the seat was the the act. That would have been fun.
They could have done a lot with that, and
I know.
And instead, they just threw an actor to the wind. And
yeah,
that's an impossible room to pull off.
Yeah.
But anyways, getting back to ScreamFest Houston, we did the haunt. We went out. I drank far too much.
Yeah, and I do want to say that this is the only haunt that used La Llorona, which is a Spanish horror story, a Mexican horror story, and the only one that
had actors using Spanish.
Yeah, which I really appreciated, and I understood what she said.
Yeah, Duolingo, go Duolingo.
Exactly.
So yeah, that was cool. But yeah, so we get out of the haunt. We drank far too much. Play some carnival games. They have all horror-themed carnival games, all except for a couple.
Yeah.
I learned I still have the accuracy on the arm when it comes to pitching.
Yeah.
I won a sock monkey for Ellie. Ellie came with us to this one, by the way.
Yeah.
And she was able to make it through fine. No mobility issues at all.
Yeah.
But the carnival in the Midway was amazing. And also, your ticket apparently bought you some time on the paintball range.
Yeah.
I'm not a paintballer.
No.
I had no interest in that. Now, I will say it was a little annoying that coming in, some of the paintballs were splashing us.
Yeah.
But fairly minor deal at the end of the day.
Yeah, it looked like there was maybe one or two people who were targeting the people walking by the fence.
Well, and the thing is, the fence was stopping it. Like, you weren't getting hit right. by the paintball. The netting and all that was stopping it, but it was causing the paintball to burst.
And splash.
And you get drizzled a little bit yeah. by the paintball.
Yeah, but on the Midway, they had some of my favorite characters.
God. The characters on the Midway were breathtaking.
They were breathtaking, and they were impressive. And that Scarecrow was so silent, and I saw him put more than two people to the ground.
And he was like 8 fucking feet tall. What the hell?
Yeah. And now my personal one is, you know, there was a mother figure that was in pushing a carriage.
And like an 1800 style baby carriage.
She was in all black, and the baby carriage was in all black, and it was just beautiful.
No, it was. Those actors, all of them, never broke character. They were beautiful costume work.
Yeah.
And they were funny.
Yeah.
And they were scary. They entertained. So I could have spent the rest of my fucking life just sitting there watching them.
Yeah, because it was the guy with all of the needles coming out of his head.
Yeah.
It's like, what are they injecting you with?
Yeah, you're like, what were they injecting you with? Because he was like a science experiment dude.
Yeah.
And you,
and he goes, meth. Meth.
Meth. Lots of meth.
Of course it's meth.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But no, so we ended the night on a really happy note. And honestly, you know, the haunt itself was fine. It was adequate.
Yeah.
I think with a few small adjustments, mainly focusing on the lighting and some of the decorations.
Yeah.
I think they could really amp it up to the next level.
Right.
But really, once again, it's the Midway. It's the stuff around it that really pulled it together.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely room to grow. But I think that of the three we went to that's definitely my favorite.
Ellie noted this to us. When we picked her up from, when we met her to get the Uber, I should say, we didn't pick her up. We didn't drive home. We are responsible people.
Yeah.
We lifted and Ubered both ways. But when we met with her, she's like, I thought you two were going to beat the crap out of me. You were in such a bad mood.
Yeah.
And by the time we left Screenfest, we were happy. We were skipping. We were giggling.
Yeah.
We had a great time. And it wasn't just the free Mick Ultra. Mick Ultra, I do not like Michelob Ultra or Bud Light, but for free, it's pretty goddamn good tasting beer.
And it's free.
When it's free, it tastes amazingly wonderful. I can't explain it.
Yeah.
The funniest thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, get up the next morning. And we find out there's a haunt called Dungeon of Doom.
Uh-huh.
Which, I mean, did nobody besides me watch 1990s WCW?
No.
Kevin Sullivan gonna sue a bitch.
No.
Anyways, that was way down right in the coastal area on the boardwalk. And so we decided we would check it out. We wanted to get there not long after it opened.
Which is 2 p.m.
2 p.m. But we had some complexities, admittedly, getting there. And we did, when we got there, the boardwalk has got to be the biggest tourist trap I've ever laid my eyes upon. I mean, right now, we're already pretty much broke on this trip.
Yeah.
We're already financially destitute. And so the very first thing we see is that to park, we have to pay $9 cash only.
Yeah.
And so I have to hop out, find an ATM, get the cash out.
Yeah.
And then meet them so they can park.
Right.
And then you and I hop out. Ellie stays in the car. We go downstairs, and this is important in a minute.
Yep.
And start trying to hunt down where this damned haunt is on the boardwalk. And we're like, okay, we're testy and cranky about the parking situation. Let's grab a beer. Let's take the edge off of it. Beer was $7.25 a can. Now I'm really pissed off.
Yeah, because we're not paying that.
And there are people harassing us to take our photo to try to sell us our picture.
Yeah.
And I'm already in a bad mood.
No.
So, finally, we find out, we get our tickets to it, and we find out that the haunt was on the bottom floor of the garage.
We just walked all the way to the opposite side.
Literally, we have now toured the entirety of the boardwalk, both ways.
Yeah, because there were no signs. And they said that they were pushing a combo pass for it and the roller coaster.
Well, and all the other rides. It included all the rides at the boardwalk.
Yeah. But they
mostly
really,
the roller coaster. But, nobody wants to do the fucking carousel.
No, but the roller coaster, I mean, it looked awesome, but by this point we were just done.
Done. Yeah, I really kind of, I love wooden roller coasters. I have a thing for all kinds of roller coasters, but wooden ones have a special place in my heart.
Yeah.
Just because they ride so unsmooth, it's a very visceral experience.
It is. Yeah, and I mean, I think if we'd been more prepared for this type of boardwalk, then we wouldn't have been so aggravated by it.
Yeah.
But yeah, as it was just a frustrating experience trying to get to it.
Yeah. And so we get to it, we finally find it, and then we get pissed off because when we left the stairwell after parking, we were literally within 20 feet of it.
Yeah.
No signage.
No.
Nothing. It's like
no. In fact, when we left it, we were at the elevator that we had just come down.
And
30 minutes earlier.
And I said, "Hang on a second. I got to stop. I got to check out something." And I stood. I turned around and I faced back at the haunt. I said, no, we're not idiots. There just isn't a sign.
Yeah.
We're not morons. There isn't. Anyways, we finally find it. Now we're in a bad goddamn mood.
Yeah.
Because there's been every single iota of pressure to spend more money.
Yeah.
Well, literally, Disney World doesn't push you this hard to spend money. I'm not even kidding. I've done Disney World multiple times.
Yeah.
This is just tourist trap hell. Not my scene. But it's through the haunt, and the haunt actually was pretty good.
Yeah. Those actors make it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. If I were to describe it, it's a good mid-tier haunt.
Yeah.
It's about 10 to 15 minutes long, depending upon how you score it.
No. Yeah.
It's $15 a ticket, so it's mid-price range, mid-size range.
No. Yeah.
It's generally pretty well decorated, and it has some very, very dedicated actors.
Yeah. Yeah, they were really cool. Now they did do one of my pet peeves because I'm thinking about this more as we're going through haunts with our talk coming up.
Yeah.
At Hong Kong, see us there. Is that they used the actor as the distract for the animatronic.
Well, and the pair that they also lit the animatronic so well, you knew instantly it was an animatronic.
Yeah. So turn down the lights on the animatronic. Activate the
Let me see this vague movement, see this weird shit going, go, what the fuck is that? And get trying to see what it is. Yeah. And then you hit me.
Yeah, from the other side with the actor instead of the actor saying, hi. And then there's my experiment. Well, yeah.
But I mean, these actors were literally climbing the fucking walls.
They were.
Literally.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys.
I have no
idea.
Well,
actually, I shouldn't say guys. It was two guys and one girl in particular that I remember very strongly.
There were, I think it was more female
I think
actors
there were more
than
women
men.
Actors, but the ones that were really bouncing around and like selling it, that was the crew there. They had three core people that were really, really selling it hard. They were working
hard. It felt like more than three.
Maybe it was.
Yeah.
But
there was that one girl who was climbing on the boards above us, and I don't know how the heck they got up there.
I don't know how she stays up there. I don't. Uh-uh. I'm too old for this shit, man. I got to get out of the haunt. This is what haunting is going to require me. I'm getting out of this goddamn industry now.
Yeah.
Because that was insane. But yeah, I mean, even after as cranky as we went in because of being trapped in tourist hell, I really enjoyed the haunt.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's a good mid-tier haunt. It reminded me a lot of like what locally Chamber of Horrors was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some crazy-ass actors bumping around this place. A mid-size, mid-ticket price. It was good. I just
fairly
really wish
decorated.
It wasn't stuck in the middle of crappy Disney. No, but Dungeon and Doom was a lot of fun. And I got to say, also smart, even though we were there at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, bright-ass day, by putting it on the bottom floor of the garage, there was no light issues at all. You could not tell what time of day you were in there.
No.
So don't worry about going to it during the day. And then that evening after hitting up a German beer garden and a lovely little bar near it because we had to kill some time.
Right.
We went to Terradome.
Yes.
Which honestly in terms of just being the highest quality haunt in the Houston area, this is the fifth Houston haunt.
Yeah.
This was the highest. The set of what we saw. The set design and the actors were incredible.
Yeah. The scare tactics were
Were solid all the way through. The only problem is that it was really short.
Yeah.
It was only about 7 minutes long for us.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating for a $20 haunt. Now, the problem is they are out of space, basically. They are out of room. They've said they've tried to buy another attraction. They were rebuffed. They're hoping to have a new location at some point. And goddamn, if they keep the same set design or they keep everything, their team the way it is, when they get a new location, this is going to be a haunt to watch.
Yeah.
But here, I'll say this, though. Even though they barely had the location to have a haunt, they still had a small midway.
They did.
They had a zombie paintball thing.
Yeah.
They had a carnival game. And they also managed to squeeze in a 3D clown attraction.
And
which Dungeon of Doom did not. Dungeon of Doom also did not.
Yes. They did not. I'm trying to remember if they had a chainsaw. I think they did.
I thought they did. But, it's all starting to blur together.
I think they had an electric one.
Yeah. It's all starting to blur together, though.
Yeah, it is. We'd have to go back and listen to our raw notes. But yeah, they did, and they also had a couple of really tall character actors, the tall puppets, walking around outside.
Yeah. They had some really, really neat stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For a haunt that, like I said, was struggling with the fact they just didn't have space.
Yeah.
They still crammed in a lot of stuff around it.
Yeah, and I will say that this is the haunt that got me the most.
Yeah.
Because they have a particular tactic that works really well on me if it's done really well.
Yeah.
And they did it really well.
Hey. Well, after that, we started leaving the city,
mm-hmm.
leaving the state, actually.
No.
And we went to Beaumont,
yep.
which is east of Houston, for the Haunted Hotel.
Yep.
I want to save the really long conversation about this one for the review.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is this. I found out after we went through it, I didn't really know going in because we were looking at the Facebook page for most of the info.
Yeah.
I went to the website afterward. I found out this attraction has been open 36 years. The current version of it, the current iteration, for 3 years.
Yeah.
That boggled my mind.
This does not feel like a haunt that's been around that long.
This felt like a haunt that had been open for a year at the most and was still struggling with fundamentals.
Yeah.
And I mean fundamentals like not having trip hazards.
Yeah.
I banged my knee really bad in the very first room.
Yeah.
And we nearly face planted because of another trip hazard later in the haunt. And also alerting actors to the presence of customers.
Yeah, no kidding.
It was a slow night. I get that. Slow nights happen. But actors, especially deeper into the haunt, had no idea anybody was in there. And we caught two of them on their cell phones.
Yeah.
On a cell phone. And then when we come in, rather than going, we screwed up and like slinking off.
Yeah.
He gets mad at us.
Yeah.
He's like, if we'd known you were here, it'd have been a better show.
Well.
How's that my fault?
Exactly.
And then he says, well, y'all don't look like you're very entertained anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure if Japes is listening to this, he is probably exploding.
Probably, but yeah. This is, once again, this is a haunt that uses very young actors. So they're very green. So, you know, of course we're going to walk in on a girl and a guy in their teenage years hanging out.
Yeah, they're doing teenage things, and that's fine. I mean, okay, it's not fine. Actually, it should never happen.
No.
But I also understand how it does.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit like a crane crashing in the middle of North Rampart. Or just Google crane explosion New Orleans. Just on your own time.
No. All of the reports say it went fine.
I bullshit. I have two functioning fucking eyeballs. I know it didn't go fine.
Anyway.
But the point of the matter is like, I get how these mistakes happen, but recovery from mistake or recovery from unplanned things is more important than having the plan a lot of times.
Yeah.
The ability to improvise. Mm-hmm. And they did not do that very well. And we ended up leaving there. And part of the issue we had was they had the entire block, the haunt is on, blocked off. So you had to park a good distance away.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was dead. And the reason for that is because they're using a chainsaw to scare people into the street.
Yeah.
Which, okay, yeah, you got no traffic, no one's going to get run over, but you still got a curb.
You still got guardrails.
And you got that guardrail there that was very flimsy. I backed into it just to send a text message to type my notes up.
Uh-huh.
And it nearly fell over. It's like, yeah, that's not a safe place to be scaring people into.
No.
I understand everyone thinks chainsaws have to be solely at the exit.
Yeah. Not everyone.
Not everyone, but a lot of people do. But funneling them out into that, if they genuinely get scared into that, they're still going to find a way to get hurt.
Yeah.
Even without traffic. So, that did not seem like a haunt that had a 36-year history. Like Waterloo Sportsman Club. That's a haunt that felt like it had 36 years history.
Yeah.
They were fucking flawless.
Yeah.
They clearly knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And had been iterating and planning.
Yeah, and this haunt was also cash only. They were having problems with their ATM after us. And they were only 10 minutes to get through.
Yeah. So that brought back the sour mood.
Yeah.
Then we traveled to nearby Vidor, Texas, which is a small town between Belmont and the border.
Yeah. And it's on a wing and a prayer because we thought they were closed.
Yeah.
We weren't sure.
Their Facebook page didn't say they were open. Their little calendar didn't say they were open. But you noticed that they had posted a video.
Yeah.
Like an hour before.
Yeah.
And so we're like, okay, fuck it. We'll give it a try.
Yeah.
And we knew from on the way into town, we were driving past Vidor, and we saw all the houses with huge piles of debris.
Yeah.
In front of them. And as New Orleanians that lived through Katrina,
mm-hmm.
we know what that means.
Yeah.
That has a very specific meaning. That means there was significant flooding in this area. Dear God, is there even a haunt?
Yeah. We had no idea.
Turns out, yes, there was a haunt. It was called the Texas Maze of Terror.
Yeah.
This was exactly what I want from... one niggle. You're not a maze.
No.
It's weird.
We got...
You were the haunt without a maze.
Yeah. Yes, you had no maze in you. And it is funny because, you know...
Like Red Rum, everyone in a fucking maze. Or
yeah, I know.
Oh my God. Oh baby. Oh, that was something else. But no, if it's exactly what I would want from a rural haunt.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. We enjoyed it. Once again, it looked like it was made out of junk, and that's a compliment.
Yeah. Yeah, there were lots of hidden scares in here. There were lots of good tactics used. There were tactics I hadn't seen before. I really had a good time at this haunt.
As a safety guy in haunts, I get nervous when I see hallways without clear exit doors, or even worse, the hallway with all the exit signs and only one of them goes anywhere.
Yeah.
That makes me very antsy from a safety perspective. But the actors were very dedicated. They had a lot of good scares in there, and they did a very good job attacking on multiple levels. High,
yeah.
Low, middle, front, back. The full 360 attack experience here. And these actors were very dedicated to acting crazy, and there were portions of it that genuinely felt like I was going through a nut house.
Well, yeah, like the person who jumped down from the 10-foot ceilings in front of you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was that one woman who literally ran beside us in a hallway
uh-huh.
and like was wearing like a straight jacket. I think it was a straight jacket. And I just crashed into a wall and then crumpled into a couch or something. Like, was that a scare or just something that made me go, what the fuck?
Yes.
The answer is yes. I think it was meant to do one. If it couldn't scare you, it was going to make you do the other.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was a lot of crazy stuff like that in there. It was a lot of nuttery. And it was awesome. And they felt the most full on actors of any haunt, I think.
Yeah.
You were never far away from an actor. And they did the smart thing. Actors were working multiple spots.
Yeah, multiple zones, spaced out.
Like the girl that called me O positive.
Yeah.
I think we saw her 5 times.
Yeah.
She kept popping out. It was the whole way through the haunt, too.
Yeah.
I don't know how she was doing it.
Yeah, and there was one... clown that I saw multiple times too.
So yeah, that was a really fun haunt. Mm-hmm. Definitely got, you know, our money's worth on that one.
Yeah.
It felt great.
That was 15 minutes,
but it was a very, very good 15 minutes, and it was solid throughout. No empty portions, nothing not decorated or interesting in one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Even the outside parts where they didn't even really have walls, you're watching actors on the walkways above you. You're walking, you know what I mean? Yeah. You always have something to be looking at and something to be thinking about.
Yeah.
You never had a dull moment.
No. So it was a good note to end the trip on.
Yes, it was. And then we made our way back to New Orleans, and that was that. Mm-hmm. But when we got back to New Orleans, we started thinking about the Texas experience broadly.
Yeah.
And okay, we've been mentioning the times and the cost a lot in this discussion of the area. And the reason is because we realized that we spent a lot of money in Texas, but did not get a lot of haunt.
Right.
That's how it felt. Now look, when haunt reviewers start rabbiting on about cost per minute or the dollar per minute rule or whatever, I roll my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is this. Would you rather spend $1.20 per minute to walk through an immaculate haunted house with great decoration and actors?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you rather spend 75 minutes to walk around an empty field and a guy who's just like walking through the grass?
Yeah.
You know what you'd rather do. The $1.20 is a damn steal.
Yeah.
So, but the reason they like it is because it's a hard metric. And it's not really that hard because, as we know from our trips, even our mileage varies.
Yeah.
We've seen our time going through the same haunt increase 10 to 15% just, you know, back-to-back visits.
Right.
So it's all approximate. And you know, you can get some apples to apples with, like, us because we tend to walk at about the same pace every time we go through.
Mm-hmm.
But still. So here's the thing. I'm loath to mention that. Because to me, it's like drawing a pentagram on the floor and summoning George the dick-kicking demon. I don't want to summon a demon. And right. I definitely don't want to summon a dick-kicking demon.
Yeah.
But sometimes you need a dick-kicking demon to get some people's attention.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's what we're doing here.
Yeah, and we realize that we are spoiled.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and so what we did when we got home was we actually sat down. We took notes on all the times. We took notes on how much we spent. And we tried to calculate how much we got per haunt.
Right.
Basically.
And we went to 5 haunts in Louisiana.
In Louisiana,
and
are you sure?
5 haunts in Louisiana.
Yeah, you're right. And including 2 screen parks.
Yes. And 7 in Texas.
No, we went to 6. Nola Nightmare Rise, Scout Island, Fright Trail, Lost Hollows, 13th Gate. We've done 13th Gate since.
Yeah.
So it's 6 and 7 in Texas.
Okay.
Yeah. 2 screen parks in both.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not counting Screamfest Houston as one because it is a singular attraction. And we wanted to see how much money did we spend and how much time in the attractions did we get.
Yeah, and this is per person.
Per person. I'll spare the worst of the details here. Basically, per person, and this is, by the way, you did all this math. I'm taking credit for your hard work here.
Mm-hmm.
Though I took the notes on the time. No, that's nothing. In Louisiana, we spent just under $200. We spent $199 per person.
No.
And we received 218 minutes of time in haunts.
Yeah.
Bring it up, average it out. We spent 91 cents per minute in haunts in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Houston, we spent $189 per person. So we came out a little cheap. Well, this is actually not what we spent. This is what you would spend off the street. No VIP. And by the way, this is an apples to apples there.
Yeah.
And straight off the street, internet advertised price is no VIP for everything.
Yeah.
But using our time, our walkthrough time.
Yeah, we've got a different spreadsheet that has what we actually paid.
Yeah, and that's for our purposes only. Yeah. That's not really useful to you guys.
Yeah.
To go to all the haunts we went to in Houston, it's $189. So about the same amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
But you only get $109 minutes of time.
Yeah.
That comes out to a total of $1.73 per minute.
Yeah.
Basically, the minute we crossed the Texas-Louisiana border into Texas, mm-hmm. haunted attractions got twice as expensive.
Yeah.
Now, that's fine if they're twice as good.
I did not see anybody anywhere near the level of 13th Gate.
Or Rise, even.
Or Rise.
Yeah, and that's the problem is, two of the attractions we've been to in Louisiana are 13th Gate in Baton Rouge and Rise and Tickfall.
Yeah.
Two major nationally recognized haunted attractions.
Well, 13th Gate especially.
Yeah, 13th Gate especially. Rise is coming up.
Rise is on the rise.
Yeah, and Rise is on the rise.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. But
we spent... So, I have a hard time even imagining a haunt twice as good as the 13th Gate.
Yeah.
And the 13th Gate, by the way, was a 35-minute haunt for us at $30 a ticket.
Yeah.
They're perfectly in line with every other Louisiana haunt on the average.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So, I'm curious for the reasons for this. Because mm-hmm. there's got to be a reason that haunted attractions become so expensive when you cross the state line. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right. We are hopelessly spoiled here. We clearly have, you know, because even like New Orleans Nightmare.
That's the one I'm missing from the list.
No. Yeah, New Orleans Nightmare was $20 per person for us on the night we went. It's a variable pricing, but the night mm-hmm. we went.
Yeah. No, it's there.
You've got it.
I just hadn't scrolled up to it.
Excuse me, like I said, the crud. It's the crud, the Houston crud.
Mm-hmm.
But it was 21-minute walkthrough for $20.
Yeah.
Now, you can go now in the season and pay significantly more. Variable pricing is kind of a bitch. But we actually priced it for no deal on the night we went.
Yeah.
What we would have paid, we actually only paid $13,
mm-hmm.
you know, a ticket. So, yeah. That is, I really don't know why haunts become so much more expensive for so less haunted attraction time.
Yeah, I mean, the only haunt that we've been to in
Texas,
the Louisiana area,
sorry,
that is less time, less than
a dollar per minute
mm-hmm. is Scout Island. And those times vary widely. Yeah,
those times vary, and Scout Island also, as with other haunted screen parks, you're not just paying for the attractions, you're paying for the midway.
Right.
You're paying for other stuff.
Yeah, because that doesn't... And I bet it is actually more once you factor in the scream zones, the scare zones.
Yeah, you know, it has scream
zones.
Because
those aren't in there.
Which, by the way, is something that the haunted screen parks, Red Rum and Creepy Hollow, did not have.
Right.
Were just dedicated scare zones.
Yeah.
They had, like I said, actors roaming, but that was it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And also, you got to remember, like, Boogie's Nightmare is part of Scout Island, too. That's not
right.
really haunted attraction, but it's haunted attraction adjacent. That's another thing.
Yeah, and we didn't include it in this list.
No, we only included the dedicated haunted attraction.
I think all of them are
way
more.
Yeah, I mean, we were trying to keep that as fair as we could.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's 91 cents to $1.73.
Yeah.
It's crazy how much more expensive Houston or Texas, because also you got to include Vider and Beaumont in this.
Yeah.
Texas haunted attractions are compared to Louisiana ones. And like I said, it's not just New Orleans. It's Baton Rouge. It's Tickfall. It's Lafayette. It's Lake Charles. We hit one haunt for every Louisiana town along I-10.
Yeah.
At least one. So yeah. All in all, though, it's a valid question, and I'm very curious what anyone has to say about that. Because it's just something we noticed after the first night in Houston.
No.
Was that we did not feel like we were getting the money's worth that we were getting in Louisiana.
Right.
That said, there are some things I do think Louisiana haunts and elsewhere can learn from Houston. That Houston haunts do well. And one of those is the stuff around it.
Yeah, the midway area.
The midway, all that stuff. Houston haunts in particular were excellent in this. And like I said, even Terror Dome. A haunt with so little space they are struggling to give a full haunted attraction.
Yeah.
Had a small midway, had games, had things you could do.
My favorite midway is still Screamfest. Screamfest Houston.
Mm-hmm. And Screamfest Houston had an awesome midway, clearly catering more toward families in the sense that they had things for grown-ups and things for kids and greater variety there. Yeah, that was my favorite midway too, by far, and it's not just because they plied me with all the free Michelob Ultra I could drink.
No,
it was a genuinely amazing midway, and also, like I said, the paintball deal further extends the value of that ticket.
Mm-hmm.
If you're into paintball, I am not. If I were going to tell New Orleans Haunters, like 13th Gate's been trying to build a good midway.
Yeah,
their midway is getting better. But it's still light years behind, like, Springfest.
Yeah.
And I would say it's even, like, light years behind, like, Red Rum.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Because they clearly, this is something that we're not as used to doing.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's the main thing I would look at. Because what Houston Haunts are doing a better job of is capturing people for longer periods of time and adding supplemental income. I mean, Creepy Hollow... We left kind of jaded, but we loved their gift shop.
Yeah.
They had two gifts. They had the merch booth and a gift shop.
Yeah.
The gift shop was awesome.
Yeah, it was handmade gifts.
It was actual handmade, handcrafted stuff. It was very unique to see that at a haunted attraction. I loved it, and I was very sad that more people were not going in.
Yeah.
But once again, how well do you sell handmade, handcrafted stuff to a mostly teen crowd?
Yeah.
That's a tough sell.
It is.
So, that's what they're doing really well in Houston is capturing people for an extended period of time and finding various ways to separate them from their money.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, as a business owner, that's a good thing. That's not criticism.
Yeah.
That's not me mocking them. That's me supporting them. As far as the haunted attractions themselves, though, Houston is behind what I've seen in New Orleans and Atlanta and in Chicago.
Yeah.
Like every other town we made a trip to, we have seen attractions that are bigger, better designed, better decorated on the whole.
And that feel safer.
So, yeah. All in all, that's kind of my takeaway is definitely is very, very good to learn about the outside stuff from Houston. But like I said, Houston, I think... could stand to really up the game and the size and the scope of what they're doing inside the attractions.
I agree.
Well, is that everything for right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we ran way long. It's about 20 minutes too long for a Haunt Weekly episode.
Sorry.
Sorry, guys. I didn't mean to burn you with this, but we had a lot to get through. So we'll just leave it here. This has been Haunt Weekly episode 203, talking about our Houston trip. A lot of stuff going on, obviously. You can find us at hauntweekly.com, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. You can also find us on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever the finer podcasts are distributed. But until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this has been Haunt Weekly episode 203. Next episode's 204. That means it's time to do...
The news.
We'll see you then.